there on thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen, and all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the songs of Zion that we could lift up to you, Lord. Thank you for giving us a voice. Thank you for putting a song in our heart. Lord, it's good to sing together. God, it's good to worship you. And God, I pray that you are pleased with the words that were said tonight, with the heart by which they were said. Lord, we sure do love you. Lord, I ask you to bless the service tonight. And as we look in your scriptures, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. And God, you would reveal things to us and convict us of things only like the Holy Spirit of God can do. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in Exodus chapter 20, we are brought, again, aware. In Exodus chapter 20, we're given the law, the Ten Commandments. But in verse 24, we're brought aware again of an important piece in the Old Testament, and that was the altar. The altar is here, it's told that it's made of earth in verse 25. For if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. We heard a great message at Summit about that very thought, to which I will not be re-preaching, but I do want to take attention to our altar here tonight. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered. So what we have here tonight is the altar. We're going to be talking a lot about the altar. What is that? What did it... What was the role of the altar? What was the purpose of the altar? As I study the Old Testament, I see multiple things that the altar did. And we're going to take a look at that. And hopefully at the end, it'll be a blessing to you. If we read the book of Leviticus chapter, I think about 1 through 7. The first 7 chapters of the book of Leviticus, we're told quite a bit about the offerings. And the offerings that were placed or offered on the altar. We see meat offerings. We see burnt offerings. We see peace offerings. We see trespass offerings. We see sin offerings. Multiple things. Say, I would like to learn more about that. Read Leviticus chapter 1 through 7. But I would like to look at Genesis chapter 22. So what are we talking about here tonight? We're talking about an altar. What is the purpose in the Old Testament of the altar? The altar in the Old Testament, number one, as we just read here, what did we bring to that? We brought burnt offerings, peace offerings, thy sheep, thy oxen. And what would they do with that? It says in Exodus 20:24, as you're turning to Genesis 22, it says, an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me and shalt sacrifice. The purpose of the altar, one of the purposes of the altar was sacrifice. They would bring their offerings to the priest, and the priest would then lay it out over the altar there and make sacrifice. The sacrifice in itself had some very specific specifications. You couldn't just bring anything. You had to bring something that was clean, and you had to bring something that had no spots on it or anything of that sort. Probably your best lamb, your best oxen in the fold. And you would bring that and you would offer it to the Lord. Say, so how does that get to God? I don't know, but God is demanded it. I don't know how it took as much faith back then to believe these things. I don't know how the burning of an animal, if you read Leviticus chapter 1, they would do some crazy things. They would wash all the insides out, and there's a lot to that. They would cut it up into pieces, and they would burn it. And the Lord says, that pleases me. That is a sacrifice. That covers your sin. In Genesis chapter 22, we see a similar thing. In verse 9, we're told, this is the story of Abraham and Isaac. We've referred to this multiple times, but I do want to draw your attention to the thought of the altar as a place of sacrifice. All right, so if you're taking notes tonight, point number one of the altar is that it was a place of sacrifice. Look at verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Why? What happened? What did Abraham do that day? Although he never put the knife through his son or into his son, God stopped him, but he sacrificed his son that day. He showed God that upon this altar, as he laid his son out, as he had wood there, he said, "God, I give Isaac to you." That's what the Old Testament would do. The Israelites would bring their oxen there. You know what? The oxen that they brought to the sacrifice, you know what? They did not bring home. I can't imagine. I was thinking about this, just the nature of, have you ever maybe worked with somebody or was around somebody that worked in a job where they were around a certain smell, right? Maybe you knew someone that worked in the fish department. Maybe you worked with someone in the, maybe at a diner. Maybe you know somebody, your neighbor was the garbage man. That just doesn't go away, right? I mean, if I can't imagine doing garbage all the time and then coming home and hey, go take a shower. I just did. Well, I still smell trash because you hang around trash all day. I don't know what the priest smelled like coming home. Steakhouse, right? I mean, that's what they would... Lamb chops, that's what they smelled like. But imagine what their hands looked like. All day, every day, sacrifice after sacrifice, blood. I bet their hands were stained red. I can't imagine their vesture. How do you kill an animal? The oxen's not like, "Woohoo, look what I get to be today." No, they're fighting for their life. Oxen! They're not small animals. Even sheep, if you've ever seen a sheep, there's some mass to them. You get the wrong sheep and they're trying to butt your heads. Could you imagine what having to do? What'd those priests look like? They had the stains of the sacrifice upon them. But when those people brought that sacrifice and they would lay their lamb or they would lay their oxen in there or they would lay whatever it is that they were offering, you know what? It was gone. They went home with less than they came with. But their sins... their sins were covered. Now we know Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, took away our sins. But here in the Old Testament, one of the points, number one, what was the altar used for? It was used as a sacrifice, a place to sacrifice. Go to Genesis chapter 8. We're going to look at another use of the altar. Genesis chapter 8. And it was good to sing in youth choir tonight. Yes, sir. There was like 15 people sitting out here, though. I'm just saying, when you're standing up here and you look out and you got a sea of people, and you're like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You could really count the number of people, maybe on two hands. But I hope that was a blessing. Say, who are you singing to? We're singing the Lord. Say, I really like sitting out there and enjoying that. Well, I'm glad. But I wouldn't be upset if everyone, when we called up youth choir, everyone came. That's okay, because we're not singing to, yes, it's a blessing to sing together, but we sing to the Lord. Amen. And let's remember that. Let's remember that. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20. Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled, look at this, a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, Isn't it interesting? Little things like this. We were studying the book of Samuel this past week, and we read there where God said in Samuel's ear. What does that mean? Normally he would speak to our hearts, right? But he said in his ear. Here it says this, that God smelled a sweet savor. What is that? That entered into his nose. It sounds like he has similar parts as I do. And the Lord said in his heart, "I will not cause the ground anymore, or curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease." You know what happened here? Not only was a sacrifice given, but God was worshipped. It says that it was a sweet-smelling savor, that it pleased the Lord, that it glorified God. At the place of the altar, as Noah made sacrifice of these animals, God says in his heart, somehow that sweet-smelling savor, man, that is hard to say. That sweet-smelling savor entered in and it pleased his heart. So much so that he says, I know man is evil. I know they're wicked. They're not going to change their ways, but I'm pleased with what just happened there and I will not destroy them again. Somehow God, through the burning of this, was worshipped because this wasn't paying for sins. This was an act of worship. Another thing that can happen that the altar was used for, not only the sacrifice, but worship. What does worship mean? That means that I adore God higher than anything else. That God, when he looked down at sinful mankind, was pleased. That he received the edification, the magnification that he was so deserves. And at that little altar with eight people, God was worshipped. This is coming after him destroying the whole world. Minus eight. Eight were saved, right? We know the song. But he was worshipped. The altar was a place of sacrifice. The altar was also a place of worship. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12, maybe just a page or two over. Say, how many of these do you have? I have five. Number one, sacrifice. Number two, worship. Number three, Genesis chapter 12. In verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed. This is Genesis 12:7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. What does he sacrifice? What does he give? What does he do? Nothing. It was simply a place of memorial. Here, God comes and makes a covenant with Abraham. And he says this in verse 8, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on his east. And he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. There he built an altar for no other reason than to remember the covenant that he made with God. Nothing was sacrificed. Nothing was burnt. Nothing do we see is offered to God. It was simply a place of memorial. If you look over at chapter 13 in verse 4, let's look at verse 1. So, and Abram went out of the Egypt, he and his wife and all they had and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai. See, he's referencing back to that. He went by that place. He says, hey, on our way, I need to make a stop. Ever do that? We have favorite stops, right? I might go a little bit out of my way, but this is going to take me through a Starbucks. And I know I have to go from here to there, but I want to go here. I used to live in Irondequoit, and every now and then we'll go by that way. And hey, I'm going to show you a couple places. We never go to the door. We never knock on the door, go wandering around in someone else's backyard. But I showed the kids, that's where I grew up. That was my house. That house, yeah, it looked a little bit different when we lived there. That's where that room up. What room was yours, Dad? That one up there. Abraham does the same thing. Hey, as we're taking our journey, there's a spot I want to stop on. It's in between Bethel and Ai. Why? And unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. I want to revisit this place because it was a special place to me. That's where God made a promise to me. And he built an altar. And the altar was used not for worship. The altar was not used for a sacrifice. It was used as a memorial to remind Abraham of the covenant that God made with him. You know what? Every now and then we need to go back to Bethel. We need to go back by that way. Jacob does it. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But we need to go back by that way because, why? That's where God met with us. You ought to have a Bethel in your life. Maybe it's down south somewhere. Maybe it's across town for our young people. Maybe it's at a camp some miles down the road. But you ought to have a place where God met with you. A memorial. That's what the altar was used for. And there he came, and all of the memories, all of the circumstances came flooding back again about in Abraham's life. Here, the altar, where nothing had been sacrificed, just as clean as it was, maybe broken down a little bit due to weather, but there it was, and he knelt by, and what does it say in at the end of verse 4? And it says, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord, just had some sweet prayer time by that altar. God, I just want to talk to you again. I just want to remind you of what you promised. I just want to remind you what you talked to me about. I just want to remind you how delinquent I am. I just want to remind you who I am and what a mess I can make things of. I just need you right now, as Abraham talks to God. Why did he go by that place? Couldn't he have that time anywhere else? Couldn't he have that conversation anywhere else? Yes, but that was a memorial, a place where God spoke to Abraham specifically. At the altar. In the Old Testament, we see in Exodus chapter 20, that the altar was used as a sacrifice. In Genesis chapter 8, we see it as a place of worship. In Genesis chapter 12, we see it as a memorial. In Genesis chapter 35, kind of interesting. Now, understand that as you look carefully, I went back and I looked carefully at this. The one that Abraham built was outside of Bethel, in between Bethel and Ai. Well, Hai. Here in Genesis chapter 35, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar unto God. I thought, man, there's already one there. You don't need to build one. I'm thinking that building altars is difficult because it's significant. Every time they talk about it, it's a big thing. How do you make an altar? How do you make an altar on which you burn things? So it must be made out of stone because you have to make sacrifices at it. An altar made out of wood is not a good idea. If you make a wood stove out of wood, you get one use. That's it, one time. It's going to be a good burn, but then it's done. So what did they make? Remember Exodus chapter 20. What did they make it out of? Either earth or stone. And there, I think it will, if you ask me, I don't know if there were blueprints or how that all worked, and here's how to make a... But God somehow showed them. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments. Know what this tells me? Jacob was aware that there were some things in his house that did not belong. Because God tells him, hey, I want you to go to Bethel and build me an altar. And he gets his family together and says, hey, listen up, everybody. We need to get rid of some things. We need to change some things. We need to change our clothing. We need to clean up. Why? Because we're going to the altar. In verse 3. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. Point number 4 tonight. The purpose of the altar is not just sacrifice, not just worship, not just a memorial. But number 4, it was a place of cleansing. They got clean. It tells us specifically what they had to do. They had to put away the strange gods that were among them and be clean and change their garments. They had to come to this altar clean. Again, Jacob knew there were things that were not right in his home. There were things that he knew did not belong. God used that to clean things up in the life of Jacob. Point number 4, the altar was used for cleansing. Lastly, Exodus chapter 17. Say, really, lastly? Well, lastly of those 5 points. Say, you tricked me. No. Exodus chapter 17. In verse 8. Exodus 17:8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. We know the story, right? Here, Moses goes and he stands, and Joshua is fighting in the valley. He's fighting against the Amalekites. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him, and fought with the Amalekites, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he held down his hand, Amalek prevailed. So a pretty simple illustration here. Moses is on the hill. When the thing goes up, they win. When it comes down, they lose. And Moses' hands were heavy. Ever just put your hands up in the air for a long time? Not holding anything? That gets tiring. How about if you're 120 years old? That's even more tiring. And there, he just couldn't do it. He had to take rest. So, but Moses' hands were heavy, and he took a stone and put it under him, and he sat there on. He's like, I gotta sit down, guys. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. The one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So, here comes Aaron and Hur, and Moses is sitting down, and there he is, and they're just holding on either side. And they're holding the staff up. Because when it went down, they would lose. So they held it up. And they kept it up all day. And Joshua discomfited. That means he whooped Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. What does Jehovah Nissi mean? It means the Lord our banner. It means God fought for us that day. So what is that altar? What happened at that altar? He went down where the battle was and he built an altar because that was the place of victory. Our fifth point. The altar was used as a sacrifice. The altar was used as a place of worship. The altar was used as a memorial. The altar was used as a cleansing. But the altar was used as a place of victory. They placed it where they had won, where God had fought their battle. So anybody that came by, say, that's where God won. Tell me the animals that were sacrificed. None. Tell me the cattle that went through that. They weren't on that one. No. It was simply the place of victory. I want you to look at Judges chapter 6 tonight. Judges chapter 6 is about a young man, a fearful young man. Man, I wish I could meet Gideon. I love stories like this. You take the guy that doesn't know anything about fighting. We've seen the movie 100 times. Doesn't know anything about fighting. And something happens and he gets a fire in his heart. And all of a sudden he's ready to take on the world. And he's got a small group of people. And you got the bandits coming in. I mean, this is typical Western, right? Defending the little town or whatever it is. And that's Gideon. But in the name of the Lord. And here, we're told about Gideon in Judges chapter 6. Look at verse 21. Nope, 24. And Gideon, so Judges 6, 24. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom unto this day. It is yet in Ophrah of the Abizurites. So what happened? It's going to tell us what happened. And it came to pass the same night, the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. This man had a busy night. In one night, he builds an altar, breaks down the altar of Baal, builds an altar to God, burns a sacrifice on, and at the same time, cuts down the grove in which people are false worshiping. And Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he did not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and a second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, "Who hath done this thing?" And when they inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing." Then the men of the city said unto Joash, "Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he has cast down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the grove that was upon it." What happened? An altar got swapped. An altar that was once used for sacrificing unto Baal was broken down. An altar then was built to worship God. And there the sacrifices were placed. And they were upset and they said, "Who dare take down the altar made to the world? Who dare would replace it with an altar made to God?" And they said, "Him." It was him. They said, "We'll kill him." Oh, he doesn't be killed. He becomes their judge. So where are you going with this? Hebrews chapter 13. And then we'll try and make application. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10. Now let's listen to this carefully. Hebrews 13, 10. We have an altar. Hebrews 13, 10. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now look at verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So what does that mean? That means the altar of the Old Testament has been abolished. And the altar of Christ has replaced it. That means the altar of Baal has been broken down. And the altar of God has been assembled. A place where sacrifices and worship and memorials and cleansing and victory happen. Say, where is that place? Is it in Jerusalem? Is it where is that? I would like to go see that. Is that in New York City? Is there a museum? Where is the altar of God? Church is right before us. It is this altar. Say, that's just carpeted. That's what happens at this place. When we call our men forward to pray, what's happening? There's cleansing. I believe when I started thinking about the altar in the Old Testament, all I thought about were the sacrifices. And in studying, I saw that there was worship. And it was a place of memorial, a place where no animal was even sacrificed. That there were cleansing, and it was a place of victory. I thought, oh, we have a place like that. We have a place like that right in our church. An old-fashioned altar. Where sacrifice of will happens. Where we come and we bring our offerings to God. And we lay them before Him. To go away lighter. In the Old Testament, when they brought the sacrifice, when they brought the oxen, they did not take the oxen back. There's things in our life that ought to be left at this altar. There are things in our life that ought not to come back into our home. A sacrifice needs to be made. Worship needs to happen at this altar. Maybe it's a place of memorial. Going back like Abraham did. And he built this altar. Why? Because that night, God communicated with me. I remember I knelt right over here, and that's when I surrendered my life. Oh, I remember that night, I was in tears. I was over here, and I said, God, you could use me wherever you want, however you want. It was right there. And that place right there is a memorial. That's where God made a promise to me. That's where I will never leave thee nor forsake me. Forsake thee became real to me that night. That morning, I came forward and trusted Christ right at that altar. It was a place of memorial. It was a place of cleansing. We can use this altar to cleanse our heart. There's things. Jacob, when he said, hey, time to go to Bethel, we got to clean up. He was aware of things that were in his life that ought not to be. And let me ask you here tonight, are there things in your life that ought not to be? Say yes. All right, then we'll use the altar to get clean. We're going to change our garments, we're going to get clean, and we're going to take away our strange gods. That's what the purpose of the altar is. See, I can pray at my seat. They could offer back at home too. Why did Abraham want to go by back in between this little spot, probably tucked away in the woods, no one ever saw it, between the east side of Bethel and Hai? Because there was a memorial, an altar. Well, I could just talk to God at home. I could talk to God in my seats. Yes, but there's something about communicating with the Lord at the altar. There's something about the altar that makes it special. So you're just trying to get us to come forward. I'm just trying to help you get a blessing and put some ceiling on the decisions that God is making in your heart. Hey, I can get saved from my seat. I can trust Christ from my seat. I can be cleansed. But there's something humbling. There's something humiliating about getting down on my knees and having a special spot for a memorial. Say, is God here or not there? No, He's everywhere. But God in the Old Testament established an altar, a special place. Why didn't the priests go house to house and make sacrifices at the house? Because there was an altar to go to. Well, they could worship God at their house. They could, but at the altar is where the worship happened. Church, at the altar is where victories happen. Understand that the battles that we fight are not like Joshua. They're not with sword. They're spiritual fights. And they're won and lost at the altar. They're won and lost at the altar. The fights for our homes, the fights for our families, the fights for our church, the fight for the lost is won and lost at the altar. And we'll have no victory, and we'll have no power if we don't get an altar. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Hebrews chapter 13 tells me that the sacrifice that I can make today far exceeds the blood of bulls and goats. I think it would almost be easier if we had an altar of stone to which we could bring cattle and sheep. But God has given us an old-fashioned altar, a place where victories are won, a place where memorials are had, a place of cleansing, a place of worship, and a place of sacrifice. Let's all stand. Say, I'm just not the going forward kind of, hey, I'm not looking to push anybody or anything like that, and if God's not moving in your heart, so be it. But if I could encourage you to use the altar, church, I understand for maybe medical reasons you can't get down or whatever. All right, then use the altar of your heart, okay? But this place up here is no joke. This is not, no, this is for real. This is a place where, again, victories are won. Not just today. Not just tomorrow, but every day. If you called me up and said, Pastor, I know I can pray anywhere, and I know I can talk to the Lord in my heart and in my home, but could you open up the church? I just need to pray a little bit at the altar. I understand completely with what you're saying, and yes. Maybe there's a decision. Maybe there's a memorial. Maybe there's you need to revisit the place outside of Bethel and in between Bethel and Ai. Just remind yourself of the decisions that you made in the past. I understand. Yes. I live 10 minutes away. I'll be here in a minute. The Hates live closer. They'll open it up. It's a place of cleansing. Again, when Jacob was told to go to Bethel, he knew there were things in his home. He knew there were things in his presence that ought not to be there. We're no different. If we were called to get clean before God, and if we said, okay, if you walk out of this room unclean, God will smite you dead, we would know exactly what to get rid of. I want to make a habit of using the altar, a place of victories. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, we thank you for the Old Testament principle of how you would use the altar for so many things. Lord, help us to apply that to our life. Help us to apply that to our church. Help us to see the places that you used it back then in the Old Testament and that we would use it today. Lord, I ask that you bless this time of invitation tonight. That there would not be a coming forth of obligation, but Lord, truly one of sacrifice and worship, of cleansing, of memorial of victory. Lord, I pray that you'd use our invitation tonight to honor and glorify you with pure hearts. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight?